It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
103.7 The Game's 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20 by 20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
I am not sheltered. It's such a good theme song.
Celebrate with me, man. Kofi Kingston's going to WrestleMania.
You know he's not Jamaican, right?
He's not at all Jamaican.
He's gone to West Africa.
Not at all Jamaican, but he made it.
Yes.
He did it. And this is a good enough reason as any to play his old theme.
Imagine if he came out to this at WrestleMania. Like,
what?
Maybe it's him coming
I am not sheltered.
To the New Day theme, which would be weird, right?
Oh, no, because he will be accompanied to the ring by the
But
New
like
Day.
I said, hypothetically, is he actually going to be accompanied by the New Day?
Oh, why is this where we're going to start? Are we going to start, which is where we should start?
Fan theories.
Are we going to write? This is basically what the 20 by 20 is turning into, fantasy booking and theories here. But
no,
enjoy.
It's WrestleMania season, so why not?
It is WrestleMania season. Only one Raw and SmackDown remain before the show of shows.
12 matches booked at this point. It's supposed to be 17, allegedly.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. But first and foremost, the man of the week, Kofi Kingston, and his boys, Big E and Xavier Woods, doing their thing and crushing it, getting his spot to WrestleMania. Clint, question for you, my friend, to start off.
Do we shoot it?
This episode, I believe it's number like 54 or 55 of the 20 by 20 podcast. I want to start here with you.
Okay.
Mr. McMahon, at the end of SmackDown, we were all triumphant, jubilation, everyone excited. He tells, I forget who was it, Charlie, that came running up to him at the end.
Yeah.
Mr. McMahon, New Day won the gauntlet match. It's Kofi Kingston going to WrestleMania. Yes, Kofi Kingston is going to WrestleMania. We will see if a B-plus player can beat the WWE champion. He did not say it would be for the WWE championship. He said he would see if Kofi could beat him.
Am I reading
too much into it? Calm me down.
So basically we get Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston.
Kofi pins him, but it wasn't a title match.
No, wait, no. On SmackDown Live next week,
okay,
we get Kofi Kingston facing Daniel Bryan in a non-title match. And if Kofi pins Daniel Bryan, because he's never been able to do it in this...
Well, except in the gauntlet match.
Yeah, but that was a different, situation. But I'm saying, just straight up one-on-one, hasn't beaten him.
Well, he has in the gauntlet match. Daniel Bryan was the first person in the gauntlet match that faced Kofi, and Kofi pinned him clean. That's where this whole white hot heat thing started for Kofi and why he's so hyped, because he pinned Daniel Bryan. Everybody was like, whoa, and then he almost won the gauntlet match, but didn't.
But I'm saying he won like in a very quick way. Where
he did.
Like,
it was a roll up. It was an SOS maybe. Regardless.
It was a very quick into that match.
It was. It was only like less than 5 minutes probably, if that.
And also, like I said, it was quick, and now you get to see them face off again because Daniel Bryan couldn't pin him at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view when it was down to him. And Daniel Bryan, he couldn't pin him in that gauntlet match a couple weeks ago after getting the snot beat out of him by everybody. And I think, you know, your boy, Kofi Kingston, he's going to have to earn an opportunity because of one reason only, and that's the Usos.
You think,
the biggest baby faces in the company.
Well, that was a great moment.
By forfeiting.
That was awesome. And you could kind of see, at least I didn't know they would forfeit. I kind of thought maybe we'd see the Usos like lay down or something.
Nah, that would have been too.
But the way they did it was great. It was perfect the way they did it. I thought something like that would happen.
I mean, you've never seen like WWE go full WCW and pretty much say, "Hey, we're gonna expose the business a little bit here." Like we've seen occasional instances of them like breaking character and breaking the kayfabe world, if you will.
Well, it happens a lot more now than it ever did.
But I'm saying, like, compared to, I'm saying, like, they're not breaking it like you saw in WCW where guys were laying down after getting poked in the chest by one finger. And a dude just straight up, like, there.
Hey, don't forget about that sixth move of doom. That's a real thing.
The sixth move of doom, the STF?
The lightning fist.
No, that's the seventh move of doom.
Whatever.
Because technically the STF would be the sixth move of doom.
I guess it could work that way. But my point is, I am just concerned that they're going to try another swerve.
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, that's been the entire thing for WrestleMania 35 right. Has been swerve, swerve, swerve. It makes you wonder if Vince Russo is booking this whole goddamn thing. Because you have...
Well, no, not Bruce, but Brucey is booking this whole thing.
No, I'm saying Russo, bro.
No, but
bro, we gotta have swerves because everybody reads the Meltzers and they read all these dirt sheets. They know what's going on, bro. So instead of having Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey one-on-one, bro, let's add Charlotte Flair to the mix and let's give her the SmackDown Women's title, bro, on a SmackDown show for no goddamn reason. Let's just do that, bro. Let's put the title on her. That way we can have a fatal four-way with her, Asuka, Becky, Ronda, and we just make it completely complicated, and we put Blue Chew on a pole. Blue Chew on a pole as part of the pre-show.
And but Judy Bagwell on the other pole.
No. Judy Bagwell is gonna be in the women's battle royal.
She's in the women's battle royal.
And she's going to win the whole thing. And then you have Pitbull perform right before the show starts.
Mr. Worldwide.
Ronda Rousey comes out to Joan Jett, but then Flo Rida comes out for an additional person that's added in.
And then Flo Rida gives the last ride to Joan Jett through the stage area there. It'll be great. It'll be a whole spectacle.
Bro, we're going to have all kinds of stuff at WrestleMania, bro. We're going to have 17 matches. They're all going to last like 10 minutes because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing in terms of an actual 20x20
ring.
But
as long as the show ends with David Arquette, the unified WWE Women's Champion, the show is great.
No, bro.
You're still doing this bit, are you?
Bro, we got to have the United States Champion, Samoa Joe, beat Rey Mysterio up and then say that Dominic is his son.
It's losing steam.
It's his son. And then we gotta have David Arquette
there it is.
Come out
yes.
And interfere in that match. Woo. And then Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin, is going to last 20 seconds. It's going to last 20 seconds. Kurt Angle wins, and then he's like, I want to face somebody else for my retirement match. And then we get Puppet. The angry midget wrestler.
Yeah, I remember Puppet the Angry. Screw that guy.
Puppet was the single greatest interview I've ever had.
But he was like a douche leading up to it.
It was the best.
But he just...
I mean, he pulled out a gun on Jeff Jarrett on live TV.
He just got a lot of diva behind Puppet, but that's fine.
He's awesome. Why not put Puppet in a match?
It was a great interview. It was, but he was a bit troublesome to get a hold of.
I was surprised he didn't like drop any cussies on.
Oh, I think I had my finger on the dump button.
Oh no, I know you did. I feel like I did. We were here.
I guess I feel like considering that was Lord. Are you okay over there,
bro? We need to
no.
Have...
We're not doing the bit no more. The bit's
bro,
over,
bro.
You did. Bring
and then
me
the next night after Raw,
oh my God,
we need to have the show open with Matt Riddle, my favorite bro. He comes out with the song that says my favorite word, bro. He just comes out to it, and then he winds up beating Brock Lesnar up. Because Brock Lesnar retained the Universal title, and Brock Lesnar is retired by Matt Riddle on a live edition of Raw. And then Pitbull performs again. Why not? Pitbull.
If Pitbull performs again.
Pitbull.
God.
Bro. Right,
now that no one is still listening, I guess we can talk about whatever we want.
We're not live. We don't know what's going to happen. It's the title of the episode, bro.
We're going to think of a clever way. Clint Russo or something like that makes an appearance on today's 20x20.
Just bro.
You sort of transitioned me there. We were talking about Kofi Kingston. I think.
Blue Chew on a pole.
I don't know. WWE is doing a good job of making me worry that Kofi Kingston is not actually going to win the WWE Championship. And I think that's good because up until yesterday, even though he wasn't even technically going to Mania yet, I was like, oh, Kofi's going to win this for sure. And then somehow he's won his way into Mania now. And I'm doubting now that he might actually win the title. So that's good booking, in my opinion, from WWE. But we'll transition from that to what is probably the biggest story in wrestling today being Wednesday, March 27th, as of recording Asuka deserves better, Clint.
Asuka really does, and it's amazing to see how much has changed in the last year, because heading into WrestleMania last year, she won the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. She was, like, on a fast track to beat Charlotte Flair.
I never lost.
And then you lose the Mystique. And here's the thing. I've turned around on Asuka losing for the first time at WrestleMania, largely because it did not end in a swerve-tastic finish. It didn't end due to chicanery or cheating. It was
no shenanigans.
It was straight up clean as a whistle. So I'm not as mad about it, because you didn't have her losing streak because of like outside bullshit like Scott Steiner with a stun. Not Scott Steiner, Scott Hall with a stun gun. God damn it. And I was okay with it.
Clint's on fire today.
I was okay with it. And also the fact that you had Charlotte Flair lose two nights later to Carmella.
Charlotte Flair.
Friend of the program.
Carmella.
Yeah, Carmella. F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S. Is she still the host of WrestleMania?
No, Alexa Bliss is the host of WrestleMania.
No, you didn't see SmackDown last week when they said they were the host of WrestleMania?
I did not know, but I also saw SmackDown last week when they said something about a fatal four-way for the women's championship. Yeah. That didn't fucking happen.
Oh, dude, yeah, that didn't happen.
Sorry, I'm angry about that. Although, let me digress for just a second.
The card's subject to change.
Card always subject to change. Here's my thought.
You saw that
Clint.
APW.
Here's what we did. I guess we should have to talk about it. We do need to talk about that. You're right.
We'll talk about it later.
Here's my thoughts on the whole Asuka situation, getting pinned or tapping out, losing the belt now. If you take SmackDown that was this week and you look at it in just its own little bubble, it was really good because you have Becky saying, hey, I bring the people. I'm the people's champ. And then you've got Ronda. Hey, I'm the Raw Women's champ. Now you've got Charlotte being able to say, I'm the SmackDown Women's champ. That was the only way to make this match bigger, unless you throw the three bitches in like a cage or something. That would be insane. I'd love to see these three women in like a cage match, but I'm asking too much.
Cage!
I'm asking too much. But here's my thing overall when I look at it. The only way this can be saved, Asuka, it sucks for her. Sorry, this has to happen to somebody, and it's happening to Asuka. It's a bummer. The only way this can be saved for me is a unification of the two belts, and then you have the women's tag team championships and the women's championship kind of float back and forth, just like Bayley and Sasha are doing now. Hell, I mean, don't go into NXT with the women's championship. Leave that alone. But the tag team championships go to NXT, Raw, SmackDown. I love it. That's great. It's awesome. Unpredictable. Do the same thing with the women's champion. The division right now, even though it is deep, there are in numbers it's deep. There aren't a lot of stars that WWE has built up to be main eventers because they put all their chips or all their eggs in this basket of the triple threat match. So maybe next week on Raw, maybe if not next week on Raw, we don't get announcement of the winner will unify the titles. If that doesn't happen, then maybe the Raw following Mania, when that opens up, whoever wins the match, Becky Lynch, when she comes out and she's got both belts and she's like, ah, ha, ha, I'm the double champ. And then she like melts them together with some kind of leprechaun magic and has just this one belt. It's not racist, is it? Leprechauns are awesome.
But I mean, you're saying
it's stereotyping.
Yeah.
But it's not racist.
Still racist.
I still think it'd be cool if like Hornswoggle came out and celebrated. That's racist. Yeah. Let me stop.
meanwhile, this is the main event finally, which is great. Congrats to them.
It is. They deserve it.
And then did you see they were on SportsCenter recently?
D. Michaels in the building. Michael's in the building.
Crazy.
He looks. He's very edgy today. Very angsty. Looking quite emo.
He looks.
What
like
happened to you? he looks like he got hit by Braun Strowman.
Also, Cody.
What
on Monday Night Raw? How great was the Colin Jost Michael Che segment?
It was better than the first time.
Like, dude, you have.
I'm excited for the armbar now.
While they're filming for Boston,
right? I'm excited about
Massachusetts. They made the collegiate joke about Harvard, how like it was so good. Kind of looks like Danzig right now. That's what D. Michaels looks like. D. Michaels out
I
here
like his
like
little
Danzig.
Shirt too. It's got a little sailor anchors on it. This is great. Continue.
Yeah, but like I said, you have him the Colin Jost Michael Che segment was great, setting them up as part of the Battle Royal. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they want handed them the win, because honestly, the Battle Royal just doesn't matter anymore. The Andre the Giant Memorial Fortnite Battle Royale sponsored by Blue Chew, it doesn't really matter anymore. As opposed to what it did, like, when Cesaro won it, and then they didn't push him worth a damn, and all that. Like, it was amazing, not going to lie. Just seeing that segment, how, like, you had, like, they even made, like, the college controversy.
Feel better, TV's Dylan.
Reference. What, he's sick?
Yeah, he's just not feeling. Feeling under the weather.
He looks like I said, he looks like he's about to, he's like a mixture of Robert Smith and like a miniature version of Danzig.
I don't know. He just looked very, very emo and very sickly. I didn't know his hair was that straight. I didn't know it was that long. A lot of things just happened.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
What were you talking about? Because I stopped listening.
No, so in the Michael Che, Colin Joe segment, how they got set up in the Battle Royal.
I'm excited for that.
How they made a reference to the college admissions controversy.
Right, right.
I was like, you know, I went to Harvard, and I my parents got me in by paying like $100,000, but to get me on the women's cross country team.
Yeah, right, right.
I fucking died.
I was on the women's cross country team in Harvard. That's great. I'm excited for that only because it gives an opportunity. Because look, let's talk about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal real quick.
What it is
supposed to be is that platform to boost someone from like low mid card status to maybe high mid card status, and now they have a chance to maybe somehow, if they're talented enough, push themselves into the main event scene. That's what it's supposed to be. What it ended up being is like a curse for whoever wins the damn thing, and they end up going nowhere.
Yeah.
Or it is a here's one last hurrah for a guy like a Matt Hardy maybe, or a Big Show. Let them win one good one, and, you know, there you go. So,
or Bray Wyatt wins with his new hair.
Right.
Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet.
Like, basically, his entire side's just gone, and he's just got the dreads going down.
Well, that'd
like,
be cool.
From the middle. It's a very high and tight, like, dreads. It's weird.
That'll be cool, though. But so I'm going to go with the thinking of, though, that they can use this to boost someone else. That's what I'm going to go with, even though that's not what it's been. And so, hopefully, we get to see Braun destroy these Weekend Update guys. That'll be hilarious. We'll get to laugh. We'll have some good chuckles. But then somehow they also cost Braun the match, and Braun doesn't win that way because Braun doesn't need it. Admittedly, Braun's already main event status. He doesn't need to win this, even though he would be the smartest guy to have win. He doesn't need it. Maybe he can destroy the Saturday Night Live guys, somehow still get eliminated, and then someone else can win and have their nice little WrestleMania moment or something along those lines. That's my thoughts. But overall, it is a successful little stunt they're running here with Saturday Night Live because I'm excited about it. For the first time in quite a while, I'm excited about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which that's something big to say. WWE has had a struggle with that in years past, and hopefully this year they get it right. I mean, last year was kind of cool, I guess, with Bray Wyatt showing up. But overall, it wasn't the greatest. And I think maybe it
greatest
has.
Greatest Royal Rumble?
Well, no, but I think this year, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Coming in and out of here like Grand Central Station.
I know, it is. It's crazy in here today. But I think this year has the potential to be the best one yet. But will it? I'm not confident.
But like I said, I'm just like, overall,
that was a filibuster and a half about the goddamn arm bar.
I appreciate you doing that. Cause like
you're
I said,
welcome.
I got to like hand off headphones, grab my headphones.
I don't know. I think the name of this episode, maybe it shouldn't be bro. Maybe it should be 20 by 20 podcast interrupted.
Girl interrupted.
We're just all interrupted. What else do you want to talk about, Clint? Running out of time, my friend.
Why don't you chat me up? I wasn't able to go. To APW.
No, you weren't.
Big Show house party. I wasn't able to go to
house
the big
party
show out in the berries. So why don't you kind of chat us up on what happened when APW took over the berry?
That's the sound of me going back in my Wayback Machine to try to remember 5 days ago or so. But let's see.
Yeah, wish it
great
matches. Results because we could talk about it.
Great matches all the way around. To be honest, to me, let me start off by saying this. Let me preface the whole thing by saying two things. One, the best APW show I have been to, and I think I've only missed like two or three of their entire run.
You missed the last one this one.
And then I missed the White Castle show as well, for sure.
You didn't miss much with that one. Like,
so,
you missed possibly the worst finish of all time with Greg the Hammer Valentine putting up the most like lackadaisical clothesline I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
It's like,
I've been to almost all of them. I've been to almost all of them is the point.
Yeah.
And this was, hands down, no question, the best show for multiple reasons. The second reason being that the crowd was hot all night. Dude, there were at least 400 people in that building. It was jam-packed.
That's what they're saying on the Facebook.
People were bringing... I was watching guys... you know the guys Iverson and everyone else. The other guys' names are slipping my mind, so I apologize.
Iverson. But, Iverson?
They're the guys that I believe they're maybe training now to get in maybe a little APW action in
Some
the
Some young
future.
Boys.
Yes. But they've been to every show. During the Halloween show, he dressed up like Macho Man. Like, you would know. You'd recognize me if you've seen him. They're at every show.
Oh, yeah.
They walked up and were carrying chairs with them, like, into the building because chairs were full. There was nowhere else to sit. You had to go find a chair.
Yeah.
So the atmosphere around the place was already just incredible. On top of that, you had matches like Cody Hawkins and Mexican Giant in a Tijuana Strat match for the hybrid championship in APW.
I thought it was a ladder match.
It was a card subject to change, right, Clint?
There was nothing in the poster that said that.
There really isn't. But
that's on Dylan.
Mexican Giant came out and he was all pissed off because he said he knows why they wanted him in a ladder match. They wanted him in a ladder match because as soon as he got to the top to win to get the belt, he would be tossed over the wall back to Mexico. And he said that wasn't going to happen. So he said no ladder matches tonight. Instead, he was just going to, you know, have a regular match. Well, no, that wasn't good enough either. General manager of APW comes out and calls for a Tijuana Strat match. Both Cody Hawkins and Mexican Giant tied together at the wrist. To win the match, you must incapacitate your opponent to the point where you can go and touch all four corners of the ring.
Yeah.
And when you touch the final fourth corner, you win. Side note, that was not explained at all. So D. Michaels, do a better job of explaining what the hell a Tijuana Strat match is.
That's a bull rope match.
They called it a Tijuana Strat match.
No, it's strap match, bull rope match. They still have the same kind of concept.
Yeah, well.
If you ever watched like a strap match.
I not closely enough, I guess. I was slightly confused until a couple of close three counts, and then I figured it out.
I'm disappointed they didn't go TLC route.
The point is, though, due to some nefarious, dirty, dastardly ways, Mexican Giant, your new APW hybrid champion.
It'd be nice if they would tell you that, like if you missed the show.
Cody Hawkins put up a hell of a fight.
There's a big difference between Cody Hawkins and Cody Rhodes.
There is, and I apologize for that, but he put up a hell of a fight. He tried damn hard, and maybe there's a rematch in the future. Who knows? We shall see, but that is one big match there. We had a rematch from APW's New Year Rising. That was on the card. We saw Scott Phoenix taking on what I'm going to call the new and even scarier, Sean Crowe. Sean Crowe coming out looking like a fucking White Walker from Game of Thrones and just murking people left and right. Scott Phoenix is a talent like none other. He flies all over the ring, though, for his size. I mean, he was everything he threw at Sean Crowe. Sean just ate it up, and then big finish from the big man, Sean Crowe. 1, 2, 3.
Was it the leg drop?
No, it was it starts as a choke slam.
The
choke slam neck breaker. Yeah,
he debuted the White Castle show. Okay. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, well, he finished him with that. Is it called the Crow's Nest?
I have no idea.
I think it might be called the Crow's Nest, but don't quote me on that.
I just call it the most awesome move I've seen. I've never seen it done before.
It's a badass move. So that was a great match as well. Then we had. I'm trying to remember every match. I'm going to feel terrible if I leave somebody out. But we have, the Overboys. They were awesome.
Who are the Overboys?
Christian Blake. And then the other one was Jonathan was his first name. And his last name is slipping my mind. But he's Laotian.
It's not Jonathan Gresham.
No. He's a Laotian wrestler. He's from New Iberia. He's one part of the Overboys. The Overboys are Christian Blake and his manager. And then he joined the Overboys for the night to go against the Cali Heat. And the Overboys were fun.
So Bobby did double duty.
He did. The Overboys were fun. It was a blast. They're interesting. They come out to Josie, the outfield, I believe is what it was, but like a rock version of it or so, like a punk rock version. And it was great. I had a blast.
Wait, what was the song?
Take Me Home Tonight. They come out to Take Me Home Tonight.
Eddie Money, right?
Yeah, and they like run around. And I think that was the song they came out to. Either way, it was great. I had a blast with their Overboys. They ended up winning their match. They beat the Cali Heat.
So they were over.
Oh, they were way over. Their T-shirts were cool, too.
Where the hell's Bayou Cartel at?
I don't know. I haven't seen Bayou Cartel.
I think one of them's injured, but I was...
Is that what it is?
But I think so. I saw something about it.
That was a great match. I know I'm forgetting something. We did have this set up, though. Before I go any further, I want to set this up. Oh, we had the Women's Championship match. I'll be damned if I forget that. We had Cassandra Golden against... her name is again slipped my mind. All I know is she was a cat, and she had escaped from the Dallas Zoo.
It wasn't Aria Blake, and I was disappointed.
No, but her replacement, she was billed from being escaped from the Dallas Zoo, and she was really good.
Harambe?
She was some sort of leopard character. Awesome. I had never seen her wrestle before. I never met her before. But she was really good. She put on one hell of a match, but Cassandra Golden retains the APW Women's Championship. She's a strong, strong hand there, so... good for her. And then we had Mustang Mike come out. Mike.
The new APW champion.
The APW heavyweight champion. And he was supposed to be challenging Robert Godsey for a rematch type thing for the title. Well, that didn't happen. Whatever reason, Robert Godsey wasn't
cards
there.
Have to change.
I don't know if he was injured or whatever the case. Mustang Mike cut
tell,
this nice.
Tell Dylan to put, D. Michael, excuse
right.
me, to make the posters say card subject to change. We don't know what the hell is
going
to happen.
Going forward. I mean, to be honest, the guy...
he booked out the whole...
You want to be honest? I'm looking at the poster right now. There are three guys on this poster. One of the three people on this poster showed up to the event in a walking boot and crutches. He didn't even wrestle and he's on the poster. Sad. Card subject to change.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, well, the thing is, they booked that, like, the ladder match, like,
months ago.
At the previous show.
Yeah,
so it's not like... it's,
We are giving APW a hard time because we can, because they know that we love them very, very much.
And then they get mad at me because I'm not giving them any star ratings at all. Because
you didn't go to the show. You can't give star ratings to something you didn't watch.
No, I'm just saying. You know, Dave Meltzer does.
Well, that's you're not Dave Meltzer, Clint. You'll never be.
Shut up, Dave Meltzer.
FDM. Oh, by the way, speaking of, I miss Alan Michael, Clint. I wish he hadn't gone to that big wrestling ring in the sky.
He's not dead, damn it.
As we continue with the APW show, we have one more match to go. As I said, Mustang Mike, he came out and he challenged anyone, open champion, open challenge, whoever you want, bring it on. And it was answered. And it was answered by none other than one half of the Cali Heat, Beautiful Bobby. When that music hit, Clint, I about lost my mind. He came out.
Jordy's folder, for what it's worth.
And it's taken care of, Clint. He came out and put on a very respectable performance.
He took more than three bumps.
But then, Clint, the inevitable happened, and I kind of knew it would happen.
It's house party.
Fight kind of sprawls out to the outside of the ring, right?
Yeah.
Kind of normal deal. Heavyweight title on the line.
Well, now you have more room than the cockpit.
You do. Mustang Mike is kind of a little bit in control of the match. And who do we see come out from the back? But delicious David Silver, the other half of the Cali Heat.
Fuck you, Dave Silver.
And he jumps the champion Mustang Mike, and then joined yet more by the Sean Crow. He joins as well in the mugging. Your boy, Preston Bentley, is
one
doing
half
his
of
thing.
The tag team champions.
Yes. He is
which
out there.
Which you missed, and it was awesome.
They actually lost their championship belts as well. That was a match
already?
I forgot about. Yeah, they lost. He was forced to tag team with Jackson Castle, and Jackson Castle bailed on him midway through the match. Preston bailed on him midway through the match because Preston didn't want in the match at all. Jackson was getting beat up. Jackson finally turned the momentum in the match, was ahead, and then Preston was like, oh, I'm tagging myself in now. We're good. And then he got in a little bit of trouble, went to get back out, and...
what happened to his tag team partner?
He just wasn't there that night or something. I forget what happened, but card subject to change.
Stay off the weed.
Card subject to change. But that basically what I'm saying is the heavyweight championship match ends in a mugging of Mustang Mike. It was, I guess, would have been nice to preface ahead of time. It was made a no disqualifications match because this was the,
I believe,
was the house party. And I believe it was also the fifth anniversary of Cali Heat or something like that. It was their anniversary of making their tag team joining. So he requested in honor of that it be no DQ. It was granted. Mustang Mike got jumped. Baby faces are dumb, heels are dastardly, and your new APW heavyweight champion, Beautiful Bobby.
Gosh, man. We have to end on a sour note.
That's going to do it. That's going to do it.
Oh, man, I'm disappointed now. We got more bouncing. Then we have Beautiful Bobby win the world title.
Hey, I ain't mad because that means we get to go out to Bouncing California, brother.
The one time we get to do this.
I love it.
He doesn't deserve it. He owns the company.
He does. Now you're just going to put it on blast like that.
No, Ashton brought that up at the last show. It's common knowledge now.
Rip kayfabe. Rip.
It's dead like Alan Michael.
Kayfabe is
Alan's
dead.
Alan's not dead.
Dead as Alan Michael.
No, son.
In the show, Clint. Tell him where to find us.
On iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We're trying to get on Spotify. We're trying to get in your earlobes however we can. You can listen to us wherever.
Oh, and shout out to my man Chase. If you're listening to the 20 by 20 podcast, I had a blast talking to you at APW's house party. You're the man. See you at the next APW show. Your kids are awesome, too, because they're wrestling fans. Chase, shout out. I know you listen to us at work, and we got him in trouble one time, Clint, with our little cursies.
Cussies.
We were listening to a little cursing a little too loudly. Got Chase in trouble at work. We apologize if that happened to you, too. I'm so glad I remembered. I almost forgot.
Leave us a 5-star review if you're in the Tokyo Dome. I think you can leave
us a
6-star review. And then, of course, if you're in the Colt Cabana studio apartment,
bye,
you can send this podcast to him as well. That way he can come on our show, because Colt Cabana is a cool guy. Next week, WrestleMania!
Can't wait!
Shut up, man!
The show is so over!